Yeah, we're discussing tonight. And, yeah, it's a very massive topic, but we just want to do a quick job, right? So, Marshall, what were we saying?
Oh, we're saying about tonight the principles of categories. Hornswoggle seems to be bad, even though you have DAS, a deal of DAS too, let's say the tonight couple, doesn't necessarily mean that other aspects of tonight necessarily fit into that. Are still a problem.
So that's, we're dealing with two issues. Number one, does Gili Milsa Umbinar matter in terms of the part of Mishpatei Tanaim? And number two, we're weighing the question whether or not all Mishpatei Tanaim are alike. And if so, how to break down the difference. So again, the background was that Tosas here asks, in the absence of what? In the absence of Tanai couple, right? Moshe, what did you say?
Why isn't there a Tanai couple? In this case, there is no Tanai couple, so shouldn't the Maisa be Mikuyam? Why aren't you Yosei? Because there's no Tanai couple.
Yeah, and tells us his answer.
Since it's Gili Das, so we don't necessarily need Tanai couple.
Yeah, so that solves that problem. And then Tosas asks the second question.
Right, maybe it's Tanai Maisa Del Recha.
So, and the answer?
Either in a Hanami, but in a Paskin, or...
either Paskin, we don't need it,
right.
Or
there's a Machlokes, right, in that case. So,
Or it only applies when there's a steer. Okay. So basically what we were trying to show was that two things in this office. Number one, the assumption is that Kefal HaTanai would be Ma'akev. The answer is, in the case of Umdana, that it's not, and we want to investigate whether everybody holds that way, what the implications of that are, and so on. And the second point was that once we've said that some of the Mishpatei Tanaim, let's say, like Tanai Kapol, are not going to be Ma'akev in a case where you have an Umdana, so you might have thought that that would take care of any other difficulty as well. And when Tosas asks the question of Tanai Maisa B'Davar Echad, it implies that, that is not the case, leading us to think that had there been a factor of Tanai Maisa B'Davar Echad, which we'll talk about in just a minute, and some Rishonim certainly think that there is such a factor, right? I mean, there's a factor in the Gemara. And the question is, do we paskin that way? The question is it only Astira, or is it more than that? We'll talk about it in a minute. If it is more than that, the Gemara's Havamina certainly was that it's not Midin Stira and that we pass it that way. So they obviously thought that there was such a thing and that it had a certain status. And the Gemara thought that what the answer for Tanai Kapol is not the answer for Tanai Maisa B'Davrach. Okay. So let's just take a step back first and just discuss for a minute. So then correctly point out that we then noted that there are different types of Mishpatei Tanaim. There are ones that are very much on the surface, that we'll talk about each one very quickly, associated with the linguistic articulation of this. Tanai Kapol, Hein Konan Lalav, possibly Tanai Konan Lamaisa, if it's about the language and not about the actual order of the implementation. Then there are ones which have to do seemingly with what? What would you say the second group is?
Formality, or the relationship between the
Mais
and the
Tanai? The relationship between the Mais and the Tanai, that might be Hein Konan Lalav, according to the other view, or Tanai Konan Mais, I should say, according to the other view. Maybe a little bit Hein Konan Lalav, we'll get back to that. Tanai Mais and the Dabar Echad, certainly, if there is such a din, may come under that category. What do I mean by that, the relationship between the Tanai and the Maisa? That's going to be very important for other things. Do we know what we mean by that, or we just said it?
I'm not sure.
You want to hazard a guess?
I assume that just because you have a Maisa doesn't necessarily mean that my Tanai is able to be over that Maisa and move it to a later time.
Right. Maybe the impact of a Tanai on the Chalos of a Maisa depends on what the Tanai, is trying to accomplish with it. And we'll elaborate this more in a bit, but let's just, in general terms, things like is there a difference between a Tanai's ability, let's say, to be Ma'ake B'Maisa, right, or to be Mevatel B'Maisa? Those are two different things. To be Ma'ake B'Maisa, meaning a Tanai's ability to not allow a Maisa to happen, right? Or as opposed to a T'nai's capacity, right, to sink or to torpedo, to undermine, you know, an existing Maisa. Right, that's one issue. We'll see in a moment. Another example could be, again, what, you know, do you need a Kiyama T'nai or a Bitala T'nai? Maybe the difference, you know, between those two ideas. So that's a group, perhaps. And then the third group is more...
I don't know.
Well, what would be under it?
Let's see.
Eshel Lekayim. Eshel Lekayim by Deshliach. Matzah Machakos of the Torah. Right? So what would you say about those? They have nothing to do with the relationship between the time. The Maisa...
The ability for the practically...
Yeah, the quality... of such a T'nai to begin with. In other words, it's a din in the Eichus HaT'nai, we'll call it. Well, you know, although it could be other things too. Questions of Bailus, right? Questions of, whether of the Chalon, whether such a Chalos can exist. If I say, you know, Hariat Mekudesha, Samanashe Nocher, Oksai, Oksus Fiona, putting aside, you know, T'nai Damashel Mamun for the moment, maybe that's just the reason that T'nai doesn't work. Is, you know, one way to look at it is, well, you don't have bailus, it's against the Torah. You might even go further and say, well, it's just the, you know, the category or the definition doesn't exist. There's no such thing, right? It's a stirum in Eubay. You know, a kedushin is something which, you know, implicitly or explicitly, you know, includes sherexus fiona. If we're to hold, you know, t'nai d'rabbanan b'mamon is not. Okay. That's different than talking about, you know, what impact can T'nai have on Maisa? So let's break these things down a little bit further. So let's go back first to the question, as we already noted, that our Tosis' question is answered differently by Tosis and Sukkah. Right, Tosis and Sukkah says what? There is a T'nai couple, just the Sukkah there isn't dealing with Dina Mishpatei T'nai, so it's just, you know, it's just assumed. Okay, but so it's important about that Tosis, in addition, it's like the easiest answer to that question, but it carries with it a certain burden, and that is that we are avoiding saying what we're saying here. In other words, what we are saying is that if there was no T'nai couple, that even though it's pretty clear that, you know, you are expressing your umdana, that doesn't matter. Meaning a Mishpatei T'naiim works even in the face of an umdana. That's a very important machlokas. The truth is that the Tosis in most of the places take the position of Tosis here, like Tosis in Testament Base, right? Tosis in Ksubas in a bunch of places, Babasra, right? Most of the places of Tosis in Shas, they say that if there's a strong in the Muchach, that Mishpatei T'naiim are not Ma'ake. And Tosis in Sukkah is an exception by saying, even then, so that is an exception. Which one would you say is misvara easier to justify? Which is a bigger chiddush, our Tosis or Tosis and Sukkah?
I mean, just reading words, probably easier to say this.
Misvara, our Tosis is more, is obviously easier to swallow, because what we're really saying, well, what are we really saying about in our Tosis?
The Anach Lami, the Gemara is Dafka, and the idea of the T'nai is, at least for T'nai Kavol, it's an idea of just a clarification of your Das, so...
Or put it this way, you can, Mishpatei T'naiim are not going to create a Maisa against your will. Right? In other words, it would be kind of Mekachtos. So Mishpatei T'naiim are not going to be part of a Mekachtos. And Tosis and Sukkah says, well, you know, a document's a document, law is law, you know, legal language is binding no matter what, even if it's against your will. That's a very powerful role for legal language to play. So again, if you ask, you know, in terms of the you know, parshanut, you know, and so on, like, does it say in the Gemara that Mishpatei T'naiim don't apply, you know, when there's an umdana nemuchach, you know, then Tosin Suk is right. But the chiddush that batal atnai, batal amaisa, you know, even in a situation where clearly, you know, this is not what you had in mind or not what you wanted, that finish is bigger for Tosis and Sukkah. It's a big finish to say. It says something very strong about legal language. Now, within the view that, you know, umdana, you know, does matter, and that, again, Mishpatei T'naiim are not going to impact you know, against, they're not going to overturn what would be a kind of mechakos or lack of das that's within a kind of flexible das, so then there'll be mishpatei tnayim, you know, will play a role. But where clearly, you know, we're talking about a kind of ta'us, right? Like the guy, whatever, you know, like the case here, or the case of Eretz Yisrael and so on, it wasn't for Dvarim Shebaleiv, right? So, there can still be a range within that, and that's why Tosfos thinks that Tzadi Zayin is so important, right? You know, how objective is it? How subjective is it? Let's say you know that for this particular person, right, this is going to be, clearly he's not what he had in mind. But in the same circumstances, you know, for other people, let's say there's a range, or it's more of a subject. That's an interesting question, right? You might say that, as long as you know that there's a toes here, that's the end of the story. The idea that it's going to be more object, or you know, this kind of, essentially, this is, you know, trespasses a little bit over into the Dvarim Shebaleiv sugya, which we're not going to do right now. You know, what about things which are, you know, Dvarim Shebaleiv, but they're pretty clear, right? And what is it that needs to be clear to overturn Dvarim Shebaleiv? That in all situations, all people, or most people, have this certain view. Let's say you knew that this specific individual, you know, notwithstanding Dvarim Shebaleiv, this is what he means, right? So where you draw the line, in a way, this is similar to the Tosas and Sukkah question. That's that the Tosas and Sukkah is a extreme, much more extreme manifestation of it. That is, if we're gonna debate, you know, whether about Dvarim Shebaleiv, you know, Einam Dvarim, you know, how, you know, Dvarim Shebaleiv Kol Adam as opposed to Dvarim Sheburim Sheim Bili Bo. Right, that's one thing, or whether there's an umdana, forget about Dvarim Shebaleiv, whether there's an umdana in a particular case, you know, or there's an umdana in cases like this, you know, across the board. That's one kind of chiluk, and an important one, certainly. To say that, you know, even in a situation where uniformly this is what people, you know, are likely to mean, that we're going to be a stickler for the legal language, you know, that is a much bigger. So Tosfos Sukkah is very, very important. The Rishonim will give other answers to this question, but not the answer of our Tosfos. Also seem to be arguing or asserting that legal language, that Mishpatei Tnayim, will apply even when they are, you know, keneged, you know, Ratzon, you know, Habaylin. And that somehow, you know, his responsibility for the language or for not, you know, imposing language, you know, is a kind of backup das, you know, in some respects, which is what you have to say. So, for example, what other answers are there to this question aside from Tosfos and Sukkah, which we didn't do yet? Did you see the Rashbam?
Oh, yeah. He says there's a difference between Mamonos and Isser. So, sorry.
Yeah, do you have the language? The Rashbam quotes the view of the Gaonim, that says that Mishpatei Tnayim apply, right, only in things like Ishus, correct?
Yeah.
But in Dinei Mamonos, they do not. But the language, the way that is formulated by different people, it's a little bit different. So it's worth looking into that as well. So let's talk about that for a minute.
So he says, Vim Lav, El Machro, O Afro, Lo Yatsa, saying that the Kis Vesro. So it says, Lo Yatsa, this Koymel, so the low having matana, the apagavlin gittin kaimel kremeir the body tenai kafol kedamer parag mishafzu is mishmul pekita the shkemeira kolu hani milu the in gittin mekedushin who divina tenai kafol lechachila lervacha de nolim.
Yeah. So number one, when he makes this formulation, so the Rashbam says that it's only lechachila and it's the rabcha de milsa, and it's only gittin mekedushin, which basically is another way of saying not what Tosfos and Sukkah says at all. Right, but in a way, by giving a different answer, but it's the opposite answer. How so?
He's saying in this case, really, normally don't need a tenai kafol. I mean, at least
the chiddush of mishpatei tnayim is limited to gittin v'kiddushin, or at least this kind of mishpatei tnayim. Anyway, I doubt if he would say the same thing about you know, F Charlie Day Shliach and so on, but we'll get to that in a minute. But certainly the linguistic ones, what he seems to be saying is that it's a chiddush only in Gittin v'Kiddushin. Typically, the legal formulation, right, is not going to be makkeh. Moreover, this is where he differs a little bit from some others, even in Gittin v'Kiddushin, right, it's the Rav Chadamilsa. Right, you could have said something else. You could say either what the Raidan says in Ochoschiyah, which is very, very important, which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes, but we're not going to discuss yet, like a more fundamental difference between Gittin v'Kiddushin and Dinei Mamonos. Right? Or even if you just wanted to speak in terms of legal language, right, you might say, you know, that you know, crossing your T's and dotting your I's, you know, is something which we're more makbid on in some areas of law, you know, than in others. You know, and therefore, you know, whatever is on the front of your mind, implicitly when you ignore or you know, abuse contractual language, so implicitly you're committing yourself to a certain kind of result. But the Rashbam doesn't say that either. He doesn't say that Gittin v'Kiddushin is more formal, right? And he doesn't say, you know, that there's a, you know, that the relationship of Tanai and Maisa is fundamentally different, which we'll get to. Instead, he says basically that this whole Chiddush of Mishpatei Tanaim is very, very limited, and even then it's the Rav Chadamilsa. Keep going.
Yeah. Because over here we can now we learn from Tanai Bnei Godim Bnei Ruvin.
Yeah.
Okay. Mamonos.
Why is that interesting?
Because
it's not Gittin v'Kiddushin. Which is the question of?
Right. I mean, the Ravid kind of gets to it, but
yeah. The Rambam and the Ravid discuss that. We'll get to it. Go ahead.
Milugabe Mamonos Lobin Tanai Kafol. But by Mamonos you don't need Tanai Kafol. Since he says Amanas that I will or Tatsiruli, I will return it. Since we could be go according to the Umdana, we
yeah, so what's interesting about the Rashbam is he doesn't just, he kind of combines two things, right? Meaning he could have just said that the dinim of Tanai Kafal and so on is a nicety, l'rab k'nemilsa, it's a special requirement in Gittin v'Kiddushin, and then that exists in Dinei Mamonos. But it is also interesting that he adds that in Dinei Mamonos, gili milsa and omden daito work, and that even when you kind of use Mishpatei Tanaim language, it's just to express omden daito. So there's kind of an implication in the Rashbam that, you know, Tanai should reflect Das. You know, it shouldn't be a counter to Das, and it shouldn't just be a formality. And that's why you could drop it, and when you have it, that's because that's what you, what it is when it's there anyway, it, with the exception of Gittin v'Kiddushin, where L'Rav Chadamilsa, for some reason, we are more machmir, or whatever, and we are omeid, you know, bazet. So we'll get back, you know, to, I guess, the other possibility in just a second. So that is, that's an answer, but with, which, you know, like Tosis and Sukkah doesn't work with our Tosis' answer, but in a way, coming from the opposite end, saying that, you know, this is so obvious, Gili Milsa, that Mishpatei Tanaim, anyways, is Dafka, Rav Chadamilsa. Yeah.
So aren't those 2 points consistent? I mean, he's just trying to say that in Gittin v'Kiddushin, because the stakes are higher, right, we're going to want to have a greater degree of recognition of your das.
Right.
So we're going to impose a formal way of expressing your das to make sure that we know what your das is. But regardless of whether you're dealing with Gittin v'Kiddushin or Mamonos, it's nice to reflect.
Yeah, but I'm saying at the end of the day, you will have... he's not denying the result, but you'll have Tanai... Even through Mishpatei, even through Tanai Kafal, that you'll have Tanai Batal Maisa Kayim, right? Is he?
I guess I need to clarify a quick point. Like for Tosos and Ashvan, I thought all they're trying to say about Tanai Kafal is just a standard in making the Tanai a valid Tanai. I mean, Tosos and Sukkah, for example, is not taking any stance. If the Tanai is valid, and you did a Tanai Kafal, and then there's another Umdana that you really didn't want to deny at all.
I mean, we'll take this case.
So then...
Take the case itself. Rubber's case.
Is a case where the tenai is invalid because you're lacking tenai kafel.
But why would it be invalid? And therefore, what would happen?
And therefore, the maisa would be kayom, and because you did a maisa, but there was no tenai. Even though
your intention clearly was not to give it away under those conditions.
Right, but that's because the tenai is invalid. They're not saying anything about where the tenai is valid, and you have another umdana about what you want. What will happen?
No, I understand, but I mean, isn't that what our Tosis is also not saying?
Right.
What happens if you have a valid, you know, tenai, whether or not... I'm only saying the Rosh Bam also adds a line in which he seems to say that even a tenai works basically in midin
o'midin.
Right. All I'm saying is that according to the Rosh Bam, the Rosh Bam and Tosis are dealing with the same case, right? And basically what our Tosis says is that, you know, without mishpatei, without tenai kafel, you're still not going to... invalidate this tonight because it's clearly part of the umdana. And Tosis and Sukkah thinks that you would. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
In other words, in case of Tosis Sukkah, he does think that you're gonna, you know, that the matana, the skal, if you were to actually go ahead and make this condition without kefal on tonight, then the matana would be chal without the kazara.
Right.
So that's... I agree. Yeah, I'm not. That doesn't say anything about a case where you did a mishpatei tnaim and somehow, like, circumstances arise. And we're not talking about that yet. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about that period. But, right. That's a clear machlokas between Tosis and Sukkah. And whereas the Rashbam is saying that will never have... Even if there's no umdana or gili milsa, kefal... A tenai will never be ma'akev in dine mamanus. Right? He's also throwing in because we care about the umdana. But it's not even that umdana. Our Tosis doesn't go that far. Our Tosis thinks that mishpatei kefal atnai, even that part of mishpatei tenaim, apply equally to dine mamanus and to dine ishus. And probably equally. Kefal atanai will not be ma'akev keneged numdana. Whereas the Rashbam is saying that that's not true. Correct? So we have three shitas basically so far. And then you have shitas Rambam. What does the Rambam say?
He says that he thinks, of course, the onim, pronim, say that there's a close between and also between execution and.
Yeah, well, that we'll get to. Okay. That's like the Rashbam, but we'll see in a minute.
He himself says, I think everything is all inclusive. All four mishpatei tnaim apply to all.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, that's for sure. But he has another distinction that would be helpful.
In Amanas?
Amanas, yeah. So that's the Rambam in, what is it, Vav Yud Zayin and Gimel Ches? Is that right? Right? So let's say Vav Yud Zayin. You have it there?
Yeah.
Right, Kalomra Meakshav?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, he's not distinguishing, right?
So he gives those two examples.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah,
but it's not going to help you probably for anything else.
Right.
Right. Same idea.
Right.
He's obviously a little more defensive on that than he is on Kefal Atzanai. So he's basically, so what's interesting about this is, so again, if you say that, does that help you here in our Gemara?
I mean, case of Amanas for sure. So
yeah, right. Meaning all the a lot of the Shas cases, right, where there's no where the Rishonim are bothered, where the Bali Tosfos asks the question that there's no what happened to Kefal Atzanai, happen to be cases of Amanas, including this one, right? What's the language here? So according to the clearly this is what the Rambam had in mind, but it's interesting because one could have said so. Again, we have the Tosas Sukkah, we have Tosas here, we have the Rashbam, right? These are three answers. Now we have a fourth answer. Now this idea, what do you make of it?
Of the Chiluk in general?
Yeah.
I guess if you look at I think Lucy Kim said that many of the Mishnayos are mashma that there is no mentioning of Tanai Kafel or anything about the case of Amanas. So
okay. But let's say if I told you that the Rambam says, well, in Amanas you don't need Mishnah, you don't need Kafel. And again, we're happy that he makes the Chiluk. Right. It's just like Tosfos made the Chiluk. Again, which one you make the Chiluk for and in which case that, you know, we're not gonna do the whole chart now because we don't want to get stuck here, but you get the idea, right? Okay. So I don't see anyone. You're a good shliach. So, good. But what I am trying to say is, if I just told you, and it could be that other mefarshim will say this, that whenever some mefarshim just say, whenever there's almanas, you don't need mishmatei to know. Now, the Rambam saying, I mean, he is, but is he? I mean, al-Pidin, is he saying that?
It's like you already have it because you're using a lashon that is mashma all the things that Mishpat Tanaim would already give you.
If you just had said, as I think what you're saying, that the that kol omer almanas doesn't need Mishpat Tanaim, these Mishpat Tanaim. So I might have said, you know why? I could give you actually, you know, three interpretations. One of which I think is the Rambam's, and the other two are not. But the one that Yonathan just mentioned was. Because almanas means on condition. So that's legal language. It's almost like Tosas and Sukkah, but without Tosas and Sukkah. Tosas and Sukkah says, oh, the Gemara doesn't need to say this because it's a Tanai, so of course that's what it means. I don't mean exactly like Tosas and Sukkah. But what you could have said, and what some of the Gaonim say who say this, is like, whoever there's almanas, you don't need, you know, at least the linguistic mishpatei, because the words almanas, as opposed to im, whatever, the words on condition refer to mishpatei. That's what you're saying, right? What's that?
What about me'achsha?
Okay, but then the emphasis would not, that's exactly the point I'm trying to make, the emphasis would not really be because of me'achsha. It would be because the language almanas is like a short version of the language. Right? Another possibility might have been, before we get to the Rambam, that maybe almanas isn't just a linguistic point. Maybe almanas is a stronger, like, assertion, right, of the role of the Tanai. Maybe it isn't. I don't mean it to be so extraneous, but I really mean to be toled completely. I mean to be toled my das on this Tanai. Almanas, it's conditional, right? So it would be a stronger. Maybe that's another way to look at this. But that, neither of these is what the Rambam. That might even affect other things, right? Other mishpatei, because it isn't just right? Fill in the legal language, right? But the Rambam doesn't say either of these. What the Rambam says is kol omer amay me'achshav eino tzarich lichbal hatnai lo lahatim hatnai l'maisa. And then in the end, he says, "Kol omer almanas, ka omer me'achshav, bein tzarich lichbal hatnai lo lahatim l'maisa." I mean, according to the Rambam, this has nothing to do with the phrase almanas. It has everything to do with me'achshav, just that almanas is a form, all things being equal, of me'achshav. So what is this halacha for the Rambam? Can't say that it's legal language. It means mishpatei tanaim, because me'achshav doesn't mean that, and it's not about strengthening per se, like the koach. So what is it?
Well, I guess fundamentally, me'achshav means that the ma'aseh is not delaying any of the chos happening with the ma'aseh, which happens to be this delay, versus im, like you're practically saying, the ma'aseh means nothing, has nothing necessarily to do with the chos. Chos happens much later.
Even if you say im.
If I say im. Yeah.
Im is a conditional action, and the time lag in terms of the chos reflects that, So there's no action. The action's contingent upon the tanai, and it'll take place with the tanai. What's me'achsha?
Right now is the ma'isa. Right now is the chalos. It's just there's an echo, some external.
I mean, there's a potential of bitala ma'isa. So then, what the Rambam's saying is something very, very substantive, namely that, and this goes to a little bit what we were talking about, the relationship between the tanai and the ma'isa. Maybe there's a different. Again, you could argue maybe in the direction here, but does it matter when we're talking about the impact of tanayim? Does it matter whether we're talking about a tanai, which is a precondition for creating a chalos or creating a ma'isa? It might be different also, but for our purposes, the general idea of where you draw the line is what. Or whether or not we're talking about the koach to be mevatel, an existing ma'isa. Right? Obviously, you need, you know, a greater infraction, legal infraction, you know, mishpatei tanayim infraction, to invalidate a ma'isa which is already there, right? Then the conditions that will establish. I'm only going to create this ma'isa under these conditions. That's much more flexible, right? Then the conditions to undermine, to torpedo an existing ma'isa. Okay, so for the Rambam, that's why I think it's so important for the Rambam also to add, you know, that in Hista B'davar Shi'af Shalakaimo, Harez Kemaflig B'dvarim V'ein Sham Tanai. Meaning, had the Rambam been talking about Almanas, you know, as something which is just, you know, short circuits or shortcuts the legal language, you know, this would, of course, be very obvious. And you wouldn't even need to go so far as to say that Davar Shi'af Shalakaimo is kemaflig b'dvarim. You might be able to say some other things about it, right? But since he's saying that the chiluk here is based on me'achshav, right, the difference between a bitul ma'isa and a kiyum ma'isa, so you might think, you know, that could go to substantive dinim too. But not if it's kemaflig b'dvarim, not if it's a chuchel and plula. Okay. The degree of the substantiveness, as opposed to the contrast to purely articulation issues or formulation issues, is even more important for the Rambam. Right? Had it just been a din and almanas, then it would probably, the emphasis would have been the other way. Then the only things you can possibly do is linguistic things, nothing more. Okay. So that's important. And those are three perspectives on how Almanas might have helped. But for the Rambam, it's all about Me'achshav. Now, of course, in light of that, you might wonder about, you know, things less than, not everybody agrees on Me'achshav, you know, and Lachar Zman is the Ma'akev here. But maybe the Yesod in the Rambam, the difference between Ikuv, you know, or Yitzira Samaisa, right? Or Ikuv Yitzira Samaisa, maybe. Or Tznaim Yitzira Samaisa, or Itzu Hamaisa, on the one hand, or and Beetle, you know, Hamaisa on the other. For the Rambam, that expresses itself in Me'achsha, or La'achar Zman. Okay, very good. The same idea might express itself, you know, differently, right? Just to highlight it for a second, in both directions, right? Me'achshav is l'mafreya, but as we know, you know, time travel is like a very complicated thing, right? I think we established a couple of years ago that, you know, in the eye of the storm, you know, it's very hard to have l'mafreya, right? Discussions of miyun, no, yeah. No? Kanabala Mafreya? Rapayan? No? Adam? Does it ring a bell? Xavier? Yeah, Xavier. Okay, anyways, I just thought, you know, people would get fond memories. But the principle's the same, which is, you know, whenever we deal with Me'achshav or Mafreya, you know, there are levels of that. There are different ways to understand it. One way to understand it, I mean, the easiest, you know, most clear-cut way, in a sense, is what we just said. that something that's chal mafreya is really chal now, but you know, you can undermine it. Right? But that's not always the way lamafreya works. Sometimes lamafreya is, you know, something that happens and then, you know, it gets retrojected. Right? It's not that it's there, but you can, there are conditions to destroy it. It just, you know, something happens and then it's chal mafreya. Sometimes, that's what I was referring to, Reb Chaim and Miun, or, yeah, okay, so we'll leave it at that. But sometimes, you know, it's even mikanu lahaba, you know, lemafreya, which kind of, you know, even when you retroject it, kind of admits that there's a sequential, you know, aspect, you know, to it, just that the din is kind of retrojected. It's like, you know, these are issues that come up a lot. I think Maria Buab says this about in Beitza, about Breira. There's a lot of evidence about Breira. Right, Breira is something, you know, that works them up right now. So, but like what I call a manifest destiny, you know, kind of a way. I don't mean, you know, in the American history sense. But like something which is like destined to happen, like you can always see, you can see in retrospect, even though you couldn't predict it in prospect. There are a lot of lamafreyas out there, is what I'm trying to say. And they might be different. We know this. I mean, we know it in, you know, the issue that comes up, is there like, you know, only hasra safek, because, you know, maybe you can say afkinu, Or maybe you can be shoel b'neder or b'truma, right? Or maybe you can be oker, you know, a maisa bishul on Shabbos. You know, does that make for a hasra safek? I'm referring to Tosfos on Shabbos daf dalid, Tosfos on Gittin daf lamed gimel, the Rishonim in the beginning of Ksuvos. In other words, where you have things that, you know, get changed lamafreya, like how worried are you about that revision? Is it a revision of the past or not? And things of that sort. So there are all sorts of models of lamafreya. Like afkinu, as I've said many times, is something which, you know, you can barely live with, but you definitely don't anticipate it, and you know you shouldn't be anticipating it because it's a revisionist history. It's not like a possibility that might happen. The possibility that it might happen, right, completely negates present reality and present history. That's different than a lamafreya, which doesn't contradict anything, right? It's not revision, or not a revisionist history, it's just, you know, it's, again, a maisa which maybe you could torpedo, or a maisa which, you know, igalei milsa lamafreya will have happened earlier or will apply later, earlier. Right? Okay. All I'm trying to show is that there are different me'akshavs out there. Whether they're triggered by almanases or they're me'akshavs in their own right, there are different lamafreyas. And some lamafreyas are, you know, signify what we're talking about now, which is a kind of a beetle, you know. And others don't do that at all. It's also a kiyum. It's just that the kiyum will be retrojected, you know, lemafreya. Similarly, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is there are things that will take place, you know, in a later time. The chalos will be later, right? And the question then is, you know, how to look at the relationship between the maisa and the chalos. Right, have what you've done now as a maisa, is that really a maisa? Or since the chalos will be later, so, you know, the maisa is just like a, you know, it's a physical, you know, held in abeyance, you know, kind of skeleton or something. Or no, it's really a maisa. Right, in a way, that's part of the discussion we have in some of the Gemaras later on in the Masechta, right, especially in the third parak. Right, where you're Mekadesh, you know, La'achar Zman, you know, actually, I think one point we still have to talk, Shem Nesach Lo Amos, like the Mekadesh, you know, the din of you know, Mekadesh Lachar Shloshim, even if the money isn't around. So, you know, because he would be chayv to repay it, right, that's considered to be sufficient. But because Mekadesh Bishtar, right, Lachar Shloshim Yom, and the Shtar was destroyed, right, or if you make a kinyan, Lachar Lamed Yom, and the object isn't, you know, Besitumta, let's say, on the 30th day, that whole discussion in the beginning of Parakha Omer, you know, what exactly is that? Or when that's considered, when you want to be Mevatel, that's a question, that's one question. The other question is the question of Bittel, right? What's, you know, Dibur Mevatel Dibur, and what's Dibur Mevatel Maisa, right? When you do a Maisa, which is not yet Chal, right? What about with regard to Davar Shelah Baliolam? When is it considered Davar Shelah Baliolam? If it'll be Baolam by the time that the Chalos is, but you're doing the Maisa now. Well, there are a lot of issues. When you have a delay, when you have a Maisa in the present that is only going to be Chal at a later point, the question I'm asking, just like the parallel to the Mavrei question, is, are we talking about, from a Tanai point of view, Bittul, or conditions of Kiyum? So it's easy to be mechalik between, you know, Lamafreya, Neachshav cases, and later Chalos. I'm just pointing out that there are all sorts of Lamafreyas, and there are also things to talk about when you're talking about a Maisa in the present, which is a delayed Chalos. What about a Tanai, where even the Maisa is going to come later, not just the Chalos? And what is considered a Maisa, frankly. So the point is that you could accept the Yisod of Mishpatei Tznayim working, you know, to be as a condition, a precondition, you know, for Kiyum HaMaisa, you know, as opposed to having the ability to be Mevatel, or at least to say that you need Mishpatei Tznayim if you're going to be Mevatel, right? But you know, you don't, you know, stand on ceremony, you know, when it comes to the capacity to be Mekayim. You could say that distinction, even if you weren't making the distinction between Lamafreya and a later Chalos. You could say it within Lamafreya, and you could say it within a later Chalos. And maybe part of what determines that are other things, you know, the way that this action is set up, or maybe the way that the Tanai and the Maisa, right, are formulated. So the question of Tanai Kodem LaMaisa, for example, as we noted, right, is a could just be a linguistic thing, but according to it seems to be machlokas between Eitan, whether Tanai Kodem LaMaisa is a linguistic.
Yeah,
what? No, that's Tanai Maisa of Davar Echad. That also could be connected. But the Rambam and the Ravid. Right? Which Rambam and the Ravid? Rambam and the Ravid? What's that? Yeah, what does it say?
The Ravid says that all these things are for Hizokatnai.
Are what?
For Hizokatnai. So he's talking about some formality.
You have the language there?
Yeah. The Rambam says, "Kolom Rav and ask for an actual dummy being on Sarfet Kolach Nai. Kapuru v'tzas Avonim v'zedat Yinotai. Rav Osei Horu Shein Sarfet Kolach Nai lahak v'kin alav el v'gidin v'kidush v'yoba v'im adal v'zagai." The Rambam thinks he may be in from alav being v'gidin v'kidushin being the Moses. But the Ravid thinks, "Apa pishin ha'ilad al rezeifu adal v'tam gadol yachadal v'ay. Rechi tachi in the zemel per karka o nos nol v'olmer hini nos nol v'mocha o elim kin yasa v'kak v'kak.
Yeah, okay, right. So we're going to get that. That's the critical thing I mentioned before. That is what I mentioned, what I wanted at this second. But we'll get that just in a sec, because you're right, it is very connected. Yeah.
It says, the Rambam says, Val Mamar, he's talking about The different Mishle Tanoim, so what happens if you mess up one of them? V'alam amar la hare amikudeshes li bedinar zeh, v'nas on a dinar biyadah, v'hishlam matanai, v'amar im titni li masayim zuz, ti mikudeshes, v'im lo titni li lo ti mikudeshes, v'ray tanai batam v'nei shehiktim hamaysa, v'nas on biyadah, v'achar kach esna, v'afal pi shah kol b'toch k'dei dibor, v'harei zu mikudeshes, mikudeshes biyad, v'ina tzricha li tein lopam. So that's because you did the maysa before you finished talking.
So the, that's case where you don't have tanai kodim the maysa in fact.
Right. In like you finished talking. And
then you did the maysa kodim the tanai, and therefore.
Therefore, it doesn't work. The tanai
doesn't work.
But the maysa is gone. And the rabbi says, "Hare v'chulei amar Avram lozo adarech ela afilu amar hakol kodim the maysa ba'achach nasan hadinar hare tanai batel mishum deladami tanai bnekadu bnei Reuven she'amru yavru dehainu tanai v'hadar untatam dehainu maysa v'zel lo amar ken ela amar hare mikudashes dehainu maysa v'hadar tanai."
Yeah. So what's Rabbi saying?
That you have to. It's not about talking. Finish talking before you give it. It's the way that you say things that the tanai itself.
It's the way you set up the tanai.
Yeah.
So again, is this just like, what's Xeris HaKasav of B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven? Or is the argument about, or are these different strategies applied to the relationship between Tanai and Maisa? Is the point that the Mishpatei Tanayim can determine whether a Maisa is going to be Chal or not? The conditions of a maisa, but they can't be mevatel a maisa. Maybe that does that depend on the actual order of things, or does it depend on the nisuach of things? Correct. Okay, good. So that's one. I'll get to the other rabbi in just a second. Even hein kodem lav, right, which we normally think of as linguistically, it probably is, but you just wonder. Is it possible that Hayin Kodem Alav is also about, whether or not you're looking at the Tanai as a Kiyum or a Bittel? In other words, the positive formulation versus the negative? The Sugya in the beginning of Ksubis, the Rishonim talk about Onus B'Tanai. Okay, we're not going to go through that whole Sugya again, because those of you here 2 years ago, we did it very extensively, correct? So, that whole question, whether or not you're Mekayim Atanai Ba'onis, that's the classical case, right? Kiyum Atanai Ba'onis Shema Kiyum Atanai or not? Okay. So in part, I'll just tell you the brief, what the topic is. In part, there are two issues that vie in that sugya for our attention. One is the onus part, meaning when you do something ba'onus, is it considered a maisa? Is it not considered a maisa? When we say onus rachmana patre, right? Or to use again, getting into the language of Rishalmi and the different girsos, one issue is onus rachmana patre, right? The other one is onus keman da'avad, onus keman de'lo'avad. Right? That's the language of the Rishalmi. Meaning, partly the question is, when you do something, a kiyum ba'onus shma kiyum, or not? Or a bitol ba'onus shma bitol, right? Or an ikiyum ba'onus, shma ikiyum, and so on. Part of it is an onus question, and you might make, chilukim and so on. Clearly, also part of the question is if you start making chilukim between the bitol atanai and kiyum atanai and so on, is this question, does it matter in the end of the day, are you mechalek between issues that are part of the formulation of a maisa? Like, I'm only going to do this under certain conditions. If those conditions are not met, even if the reason they're not met is bonus, they're still not met. That's different than, these are the conditions for me to be able to pull down or undermine you know, a maisa which is done. Because in the end of the day, the maisa is still done. The only question is whether or not you pull it down or not. Which gets us to the other Ravid question in just a second. I'm just trying to show, and in that sugya there is a whole discussion about the relationship between the comment of Rav Huna in the Darim Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, in the context of a person who makes a neder own sin, and the Gemara there quotes Onus Rachmana Patre, Chayve, whatever. Again, just to know what it is, I'm not going to go into it. That's the Darim Chav Zayin. How gavar da'at b'sachvasa b'beidina v'amar ilo asina atlasin yom and levatlon. Levatlon hanus zachvasai. Isnes v'lo asam ravuna batel zachvasai. Amalei rabba onasuv onas rachman apatre v'sivu l'nar l'sasa dama. Pitei makatala shayni v'nitz nidin onshin v'atan nidre onsin idir chavero and so on. Okay, the whole shakavatari here. And then the connection between that and the sugya in the beginning of Ksubis, about Yesh Tanai Ba'ones. So there are those who are mechalik between a kumbase, a shaval taisa action, or a kumbase, shaval taisa Tanai. So all I'm saying is if you could, you can't ignore, there are two very big factors here. One is what happens, kiyum ba'ones, bitul ba'ones, I kiyum ba'ones, I bitul ba'ones, all these things. But an additional element is, is there a difference between being Mekayim at Tanai and being Mevatel at Tanai? That's very important. Okay. So there are other strategies, right, that also could impact, you know, this question. Not only Me'achshav versus later Kiyum, not only Tanai Kodem L'maisa in its various forms, but I'd say also the way that the Tanai was formulated, and so on. This also may impact on a question which I wanted you to look at very quickly, and that is there ever an obligation to kind of try to fulfill a Tanai, not to undermine a Maisa? Right? But Pashtus, in the world of Tanaim, you know, it's a you know, one would have thought it's a neutral area of halacha. Namely, I set up the Sinai, and, you know, if I follow through, great, and if not, those are the consequences. Would there be any moral imperative, or legal imperative, even l'chatchila, right, for me, you know, not to undermine the Maisa or to fulfill the Sinai? Pashtus not. But we have here and there indications to the contrary. So one is the interesting language of the Gemara later on in Daf Ches, in discussion of Ni'iri and other Rishonim, right? Hareat Mekudeshes, you know, the mana, right? V'nasan la dinar, harezem Mekudeshes v'yash. But does that just mean if you want the kedusha to be chal, you better be mashli? Or maybe a little more than that, right? Until we know that you're not going to be mashlim, right? The assumption is, you know, harezu mukudeshes. Or is it also more than that? Is it also a bit of like an imperative, but harezu mukudeshes v'yashlim, meaning don't tear down, you know, this kiddushin. You know, you should be mashlim in order to fulfill the tonight. So this comes up a little bit in Rashi, in Shavuos. I don't know if anybody got a chance to see it. Anybody see the Rashi in Shavuos? Moshe?
It says that it's a mitzvah of a kind of night.
Yeah, what does the Gemara say there?
Amein.
Bo Shavua, bo Hamanas Dvarim, bo Kabbalas Dvarim. Right? So bo Shavua we understand. What's the Kabbalas Dvarim? So Rashi says what?
Rashi has a case that someone says, "Ha'omer l'chaver, Amen." Rashi says, "Kayim li tonight, kaf l'kaf."
Yeah.
Amar Amen. Kabel zvar v'chayav l'kayim b'tano.
Yeah. The guy says, "Amen." So he's chayav l'kayim b'satzonai. So this is a very striking Rashi. So Rabbi Kiveger noticed it, Bingo Yashas. Right? Very good. This is what Lamed Heyomad Aleph. Lamed Vavomad Aleph, sorry. Second. Yeah. Amen bo kabbalas dvarim, ha'omer l'chaveiro, amen ashet z'kayim li'tnai kach v'kach, v'amar amen, ki bo dvar v'chayim v'kayim t'nai. So what does Rabbi Kanager say? Is that?
Igal
in Ashas.
Lo yadat, should I read it?
Yeah.
Lo yadat, ha'leik achiv v'asod ha'tnai, ela d'im lo yikayim ha'tnai, v'adol ma'isa, d'mecher, u'matanam, u'machil v'chodome.
Yeah.
U'vadah, l'may tzarech l'amen, she'yeh kabbala u'may tzarech l'kabbalato,
right, it's Archeon, right? So that's a really nice little snippet. It sounds like that, you know, maybe Rashi there, maybe the Meiri and Dabches, people who have this idea think that there's a difference between, you know, Kiyum Atanai and Atanai, which is going to be Mevatel Amaisa. And that there's a certain, you know, imperative, you know, not to be mevatel a standing maisa under certain conditions. You have to figure out what. Anyways, so this is an important chiluk, right, between kiyum atanai and bitul atanai in all of its various get manifestations. We're not going to pursue more details than that, but like there's a whole discussion in the third parak. In the Rishonim, the Ramban, and the Ran, and Omer is like a terrific parak. And again, in the parallels in the seventh parak of Gittin, right, about, you know, all these kind of cases, like, should you assume when there's a Tanai, like, let's say the guy didn't say Amanas or Miapsha. Like, you know, should you assume it's going to happen until it doesn't happen, or do you always, you know, hold out until the Kiyum HaTanai? These are all parts of the same issue and problem. But possibly the distinction between Bitul HaTanai and Kiyum HaTanai, not necessarily, I'm just building it, that's why, one by one, may be part of a bigger issue in Tanaim, and that's the one that Shua was referring to. Namely, the other distinction between Gittin v'Kiddushin and Dinei Malchus, right? So, first of all, what does the Rambam say about the Gaonim view in Schiyah Matan and Anisha? Does he talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What does he say? You mentioned it before, right?
Right.
So the writer says Kvar Kosavnu, right? Hatam the Sefer Mishpatim Kedivrei HaAchron. But it's a pretty good question, right? So my answer to that question, I think I mentioned it here in the past, is that in Ochanami, I mean, obviously, tonight B'nei Gor B'nei Ruvein is not about getting the Kiddushin, but I think the bigger point is that it's also not necessarily about the Imamanus, and that it shares more with getting the Kiddushin than it does with the Imamanus. I mean, the whole Parsha, and if you read the Pesukim, it certainly comes out that way. The whole Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvein isn't about real estate, right? It's about the legacy of Klal Yisrael. It's about Yerusha Seretz Yisrael and the, you know, the different domains of the Shvatim, which is a very crucial issue. So whatever it is about Gittin, in a way it's about Gittin V'Kiddushin, and Gittin V'Kiddushin is about it. It's about legacy and family. And it's also about something that transcends Dinei Mamonos, which may require a minimum, like we were saying before, you know, more precise legal language. There's also an assumption that, you know, your personal umdana or omed adas or gilui milsa, right, is kind of set aside, not as a low plug alone, but that implicit, since what you're doing is kind of representing, you know, others. So in addition to the legality, the formality, you know, the ironclad, you know, contractual nature of things being more important here, in addition to that, there's also the sense that, you know, you don't just speak for yourself, because the impact of what you're doing, right, spills over, you know, to other people. As a result, saying, oh, that isn't what I had in mind, you have to have in mind, right, the range. So I think that's very, very important. I mentioned in the past, in this context, that the two things, that the, you know, the Rambam has this famous Shita in Hilchos Nachlos, that he refers also to in Hilchos Ishus, and that is that you can't make Tanoim, even according to, even though we paskin, that Masa Macha Kosim Torah B'tayin Nafesh B'mamu Niskayim, right? So, if that's the case, you should be able to make a Tanai when it comes to Nachla. And the Rambam came up with this, like, extraordinary Xeris HaKasuv. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. I mean, the psukim called Nachla Chukas Mishpat. So the Rambam says, oh, it's Chukas Mishpat. You can't make it tonight. It's not tonight, Avishu B'mamun Kai. That's a very remarkable thing. But what the Rambam seems to be saying is that the words Chukas Mishpat show you that family inheritance is not about dollars and cents, which it never is, right? It's about family structure, family legacy. The story of Benot Slavchad and Yerusha, and especially the question of, you know, daughters in Yerusha, and even the possibility of daughters in the vertical line, you know, being Yoresh, you know, Chelek HaBachor of their father, which is the Slavchad story. All that appears in the context of Knesa L'Eretz Yisrael and Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, right? And the whole story of Hasavas Nachla is about that too, right? Meaning the imposing on, you know, a generation who they can marry, which is seems like a very draconian, you know, kind of a thing, but it needs to be understood against the background of this not being just about personal choice, you know, in marriage and dollars and cents consequences for a generation to get used to it. It's about, you know, establishing like the ideal of the structure of Yerusha for Klal Yisrael and the Shvatim in the beginning of Knesa La'aretz. And I think that's why the whole parsha of Yerusha waited till then. I mean, there was personal property that was subject to Yerusha before Knesa La'aretz. There were people who were living and dying and who had heirs, and even if it wasn't Karka, so it was Metaltalin, right? Metaltalin is subject to Yerusha. But the whole Parsha, right, appears in that context, and that's when it gets clarified. Yeah?
I'm not really sure how this is coming to help us for the Rambam, because the Rambam definitely, even with his understanding of Nahal, doesn't expand it.
Yeah, I understand. I think he's focusing very much on the Gaonim in terms of, you know, Gittin V'Kiddushin, and seeing it very specifically. I'm trying to suggest, right? I mean, I think you have to say something for the Gaonim, and the question is just so glaring.
Yeah.
Like, no one cannot relate to this question. So if the Rambam wanted to say, you know what, this is a great answer, but that's not Gittin V'Kiddushin, or it's not good enough, you know, for Mishpatei Tanoim, that's fine, I don't mind that. I'm not answering it for the Rambam.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say that the Gaonim need to make sense.
Correct.
And you can't ignore the paradigm.
But even for the Gaonim, but then when you think you're saying that it's all being based off of actual Yerusha, Nachlot, etc., then it shouldn't be more expansive than just Gittin V'Kiddushin. And at least the way the Rama quoted, it's only like in V'Kiddushin as opposed to all Dinei's Yisurin.
No, what I was saying was it could be that Yerusha's Haaretz specifically. Yeah, I'm not saying that, so not everybody agrees with the Rambam about Yerusha. Even though I think everybody will agree that Yerusha is very emotional, that has a lot to do with family structure, whether more than also being dine mominus, you know, that's more of a question.
It would have worked for Yerusha too, then, I guess.
Ironically, what you're pointing out is that the Rambam isn't saying any of this, and he's the one I'm quoting who says about Chukas Mishpat and Yerusha in general. I'm just using that you're totally right. I don't think it's a stira at all. I'm just pointing out, you pluck out that, you know, Chukas Mishpat thing, it's a way of showing how sometimes money isn't money, money is legacy, and for the Rambam that expresses itself there, and other people think it does. That's not what that is about, or not enough. And I'm saying for the Gonim, Nachalas Eretz Yisrael, even more so, or maybe exclusively so.
So what did Tanai work for Nachalas Eretz Yisrael for them?
Right.
Was that a yes? Meaning Gittin Kedushin and Nachalas Yisrael would be a third category of works?
Gittin the Kedushin is certainly not more, you know, than... That's the paradigm. That's where... I mean, I think that they... what I want to do is make the question, instead of a glaring, fatal weakness, like a strength, you know, that like is so implicit and obvious that like there's nothing like, you know, parceling, you know, the portions of the Shvatim, you know, in Eretz Yisrael. There's not Einecha Davar, you know, She'eno, you know, Mamonis Gedola Mizu, and even Ishus, you know, matters, even Mamonis aspects of Ishus. Or that too, but the paradigm, instead of saying, oh, we're ignoring the paradigm when everything is learned out from Bnei Gad to Bnei Reuven, right? What I'm saying is, you know, the Gonim will have to say something like this. We'll see in a minute. The Raivid says something a little bit different, but I think it's in that general direction. It isn't going to be ever, you're never going to answer the question by saying that Bnei Gad to Bnei Reuven was Gittin V'Kiddushin. So you're going to have to say that it shares something with it and is something even more basic than it. And then it's extended off of it. That's kind of what
I guess that's what's so bothering me is that at least the way the Rashbam himself has quoted it, writes in Bava Basra, it's only specifically by Gittin V'Kiddushin, not also by Nachalas Eretz.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
But again, he isn't... Right, he's not saying...
It's also by Yisurin.
Right. No, I understand. So, yeah, it's... But that question remains.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. Yeah.
And just to clarify, in this discussion, if we're learning from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, then we're assuming that there are Mishra the time...
Yeah.
If we're not, we're assuming there's still a concept of Tanai, it just doesn't have all these requirements.
What do you mean?
If we assume like the Gonim and Achronim, by Mominus, there's still a concept of Tanai, you still make things conditional. I just don't need it.
But no Mishpatei Tanai.
Yeah, but I can still make a Tanai.
Yeah. Well, but that'll just be an expression of your Das, probably. I mean, I could always, I mean, you can't force me into selling my property or giving up my rights or marrying or. So of course I can always make conditions. Conditions without Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven and Mishpatei Tanayim is not such a big chiddush anyway.
Bnei Gad isn't imposing additional standards onto regular Tanayim.
Say that again.
Bnei Gad is like a new type.
I would say I think that's an understatement, but yeah, meaning they are they're the rules, right? If you could always say I'm only going to do this under the following circumstances, because that would normally would not be considered. Mishpatei Tanayim, that would just be considered an expression of the conditional expression of your will. I don't think you need Bnei Gad or Bnei Reuven for that, mostly. Again, we'll get to Tosfos and Ksuvos in a second. But the Pashtus, the normal way of thinking, you wouldn't think that. Like if every culture has, you know, recognizes, you know, conditional Das, I don't think that surprises us, right? If there are elements of how you formulate a Tanai that will undermine your Das, or will create a situation of Maisa Kayim the Tanai Batel, right? Or which will not allow certain conditions, that surprises us. That's what we learned from Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Remember, Ad Kedei Kach, just to highlight it, that the Bali Tosis asks the question in Anayin Dalad in Ksuvis, right? When the Gemara talks about, you know, Ef Shalasa Saideh Shliach, that's why I had that on the list. What is Tosis ask?
What's
a Svara? Meaning what? It was raining that day, they were wearing green, you know, they were six foot two, only people 6 foot two can make it tonight, right? Only people who are hungry can make it tonight. Like, where are you going to draw the line? Right, but what they're really asking? I mean, they're asking that question because We're trying to figure out some of these things. So the answer, of course, Tosa says, is no. I mean, it has to be rhyme and reason, or at least rhyme or reason. Right? In some cases, like Efshalasa Saideh Shliach, you know, it's a shir and bailus in jurisdiction, and you know, and so on. In other cases, maybe it's legal language, right? In other cases, maybe it's a shir and chucha utlula. So, but even the fact that they're discussing, and we'll get to Tosin Ksivus in a second, but and the other one, Nudvan. But even the fact that they're discussing it shows you Benegoda Bnei Ruvain as a paradigm, of course, you know, is, you know, revealing, and there's a, you know, there's a science behind it. But it's mechudash. Didn't have to be that, or draw the line at that, etc. The idea that, oh, I'm only going to do this if it suits me, I'm only going to do this if you give me $100, I'm only going to do it in any culture, makes sense. I mean, just, that's all the conditions of my dance.
But like for the Gorim Achorim, if I make a tonight, and I'll give you $100, or if you go up to heaven, I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
So, according to the tonight, it's Tanao Badel, or my Zakayim.
Right.
But if the Gorim Achorim, let's say the Mishnah only applied to get them a fiduciary or Yisroel in general, in that case, I don't own the $100?
Well, we don't know. We have to whether it's all mishpatei tanoim or not. We'll have to figure that out also. Right? I mean, again, the linguistic, the ones, the more formal ones, obviously. But even the other ones, you might say, okay, so you made a ridiculous tanoim, but that's the tanoim you made. Sorry, not completely. I mean, again, I make a stupid tanoim.
We say
tanoim
batal ma'isakayim. You make such a ridiculous tanoim.
Right. We say batal ma'isakayim. And what are you going to say for? We're not going to say batal ma'isa. We're not going to say batal atayim ma'isakayim, but what we're going to say, you know, unless you want to say it only in kuchot lulas and say, oh, because it's clearly the meaning. But probably not. Probably you'll say, you know, it's a crazy tanai, but that's what he meant. Or he was never serious about the whole thing. Right? Yeah.
Wouldn't one have to say that in a chanami, according to the Rambam, there's something special about Yerusha? But the specific case of Negad Bnei Ruvain wasn't the case of Yerusha, because if it was, how can you make a tanai about it? Because the Rambam holds you can't make a tanai about Yerusha.
Well, it wasn't really Yerusha. I'm giving the example of Yerusha. This wasn't really Yerusha. This was Chalukas Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, so
and it was the beginning.
It's like its own category?
No, what the Rambam says is you can't. No. So let me make it clear also. What the Rambam says about Chukas Mishpat is that you can't change the existing rules of the existing biblical rules of Yerusha. Right? In other words, you can't, you know, tell them Bechor, well, I don't want to get to Lo Yuchalavake or whatever, but whatever. That you can't change whatever the biblical laws of Yerusha are. All things being equal, you're not supposed to be able to master them. That's what he basically says. What was going on in God and Reuven? They were arguing about the rules to begin with. God and Reuven said they wanted Avar Yardane, right? And they wanted the switch. This wasn't. So it's not. I'm using the example of Yerusha because I think it's even a bigger chiddush in a way. That's kind of, you know, the answer to Aryeh's question a couple of minutes ago. But you could say this isn't Yerusha, it's Nachala. You know, it's the original apportionment before it happened, and therefore, the Rebbeinu Sholem was negotiating with Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, you know, for what to change the what might have been but hadn't happened yet. That's a little bit.
You're just bringing Yerusha as a unique din with unique
Yerusha's time? I'm bringing Yerusha to try to show that you can have something that looks like mominous in the sense that if I get this, you know, Yerusha from whoever, the relative, I'm going to have a fatter, you know, richer, healthier, maybe more corrupting, you know, bank account. Right, so you could, and some Rishonim do look at it. It's all about its money. I mean, the Gemara speaks about tonight Dov Rishu B'Mamon when it talks about Yerushan V'Basur Kuf Chavav. Right, the Rambam says since the Torah uses the expression Chukas Mishpat, it's not Masa Machshu Kosam B'Torah B'Tanai Dov Rishu B'Mamon. I'm only using the Rambam. I don't mean, you know, maybe it was too distracting. I meant it to show that you can have something which has a very strong mominous focus, but where the mammon isn't the only point. And therefore, we don't just treat it as mum. And I want to say, kal v'chomer ben benosho, kal v'chomer, but again, Aryeh's, the other Aryeh's, comment is a good comment in that I'm saying, wow, if the Rambam thinks like chukas mishpat, you know, limits, you know, what you can do with dinei mamonos yerusha, so we can certainly understand that b'nei gad b'nei ruvein, it wasn't just about a couple of, you know, it wasn't just about water rights and land rights and whatever. This is about, you know, the chalukas ha-shvatim, you know, for all time to come in Knesset Laaretz, right? His ha'ara is, okay, great, so how come the Rambam, you know, didn't see that when he's the guy who said chukas mishpat? That's a very legitimate question. It doesn't bother me too much either, even though I think it's an interesting question, but it's not such a bothersome question, meaning you could say, oh, you know, for this you need that, for this you need more, for that you need... I just wanted to draw the parallel between them, of something which looks on the surface like mamon, but is more yoredeia. Like, where do you put dinei yerusha? Do they belong in choshen mishpat or yoredeia? Hard call, is all I'm saying, for the Rambam. The Rambam put it in choshen mishpat too in the end. He put it in chos nachlos. But, you know, like, you know, ribbis is in yoredeia, right? Tzedakah is in yoredeia. Could have been a choshen mishpat in the Rambam. It is. Zmalva, belova, you know, is... some things are in choshen mishpat. I mean it that way. Yeah.
Well, going to that point, I thought it was interesting that the Rambam like consistently brings up the other side here.
What do you mean the other side?
I mean, he keeps almost, he's like very sensitive to that issue, which is why he keeps on bringing up the other gilim. I mean, like we see him place and play. Whenever the Rambam has a shita, he doesn't always quote like there are mitzvahs that go in that say this, but I think you should say like this.
Okay.
But here he like feels the need almost to explain that there is a shita that says it would only probably give the kiddushin.
Me, why is he even quoting it all?
And he always does it a bunch of times.
I mean, it was a very prominent view, as you can see.
I don't know if it's like mukhach, but I just thought, in light of the mishpat nachla, chukas
mishpat. Second. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not so sure. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Anyways, the... yeah. Okay. Good. So that is the... That's the question. So what does the Rambam... What does Rambam again say in Tzchi Yeshua? I'm sorry, we're running over. We'll just stop in a minute, but...
Right,
go
so
ahead.
He says that in Kittim V'Kiddushin, what we really care about is the Das. And that all these Mishpatim Tanayim are for Kizokatai.
So again, no, the other way. Dinei Mamonos. So what? The Mishpatei Tanayim reflect Das, or they reflect the ability to destroy, to savage the institution despite the Das?
Right. Sorry, I got mixed up.
Right? Yeah. So the Ravid says an amazing, amazing thing. Again, it doesn't necessarily hold that way. One more time, read it just if you don't mind. Stop. So what does that mean in a word?
So it's all about the Das.
Yeah, meaning what? How could Mishpatei Tanayim ever be ma'akev and dine mamonos? The guy only wants to sell his cow or his watch or his field under the following conditions, and what? So you're gonna get him on some technicality, and it reminds us of what Tosa says in our sugya, but Tosa doesn't say that about all dine mamonos, right? Tosa says it about, you know, cases where there's a strong umdana. The Ravid is projecting this for the Gaonim on all Dinei Mamonos. What he's saying is, when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, the devil... Now, this may or may not be true, because you could argue it isn't true. I'll explain in a minute. But you could also understand it. Meaning, the devil of the Das devil, we'll call it, is in the details. meaning it's only worth it for me to do this deal, you know, if I can get exactly what I want out of it. However, go ahead. Right. So what's he saying about getting the Kiddushin?
So there we need
he's saying basically the Das is independent of the Tanai. Meaning his love, he's not saying that, you know, you don't care, in getting the Kiddushin, you care more even about Das. What he seems to be saying for the Gonim is that the devil of the Das devil is not in the details when it comes to Gittin Vikidushin. Why? The Ravid here is a romanticist. You know, I don't know if he's a romanticist, but what he's saying is, you have decided who you're going to marry, or you've decided to get divorced. What he's really saying is, so this appended Tanai, right? What is that? That the devil, the Das devil, is in that detail, meaning you only want to get divorced, you only want to marry her or get married if you can squeeze another $100 out of it, or some other little tanai, some other little milsachriti, we'll use the expression. Clearly not. So what's really going on? You have Das Lakadesh, you have Das Lagarish, but I'm adding this. You see yourself in a powerful position to exploit, you know, to take advantage, to capitalize on your leverage, you know, and to squeeze another, you know, fringe benefit or two out of the. I mean, he doesn't say all this, but this is basically what he's saying, right? Is that about the Das? I mean, Harit Mekudeshes, Almanash Titnilach, or should, you know, another 200, the 200 zuz, that makes the marriage, his Das in the marriage. No, he's willing to gamble, you know, that maybe he can use his position, you know, to squeeze out some extra advantages. But that's going to undermine the Das, Lekadesh, or Lagarish. It's Kemaflig Bedwarim, right? You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the only way to do that is if you have contractual language. Now, what does a contractual language do there, Shua?
He calls it a chizuk.
What?
He calls it a chizuk.
A chizuk. So is that what turns Alpidin, that appendage Milsachriti gets integrated into the Das, Alpidin, because of that, halachically? Or it says, despite the fact that there is Das on the Maisa, contractual language, chizuk, can bring it down. There's an extraneous mevatel.
Like
hard to know. What?
It sounds like it brings it down, though, no?
It does. You think it brings
sounds
it down?
Like it, yeah,
sounds
it,
like it. I'm not sure. Or is it mechazek it and it's a hyphenated? I'm not sure. Probably. I think probably. But I think you could say in general. Now, this perspective of the Ravid is invaluable and is at the heart of the comment of Tosas and Ksuvis Nunvav and of the Tshuvas Harash. And a lot of other things. Namely, what the Ravid is really saying is that Mishpatei Tanayim are, to use the language it has a different meaning in the Gemara in Ksuvos when it's first said, but this became the language associated with this idea, is Tanayim Milsach Riti, meaning that the Tanai is not upfront, at least, an expression of Das on the Maisa. It's a milsachriti. It's something extraneous appended to, which if contractually properly formulated can bring down the Maisa. But it brings it down as a mevatel, as a davar chitzoni, milsachriti. Now, of course, the vulnerability of the Ravid for the Gaonim is whether it's really true. Again, I like the idea. I think there's a certain idealistic element in the whole thing, which I like very much, but liking it doesn't mean that we should close our eyes, you know, to how realistic it is, right? At least for some people. Being this is the way it should be. Meaning what he's saying is, a dine mominis contract is all about the details. Because there's no broader agenda. It's about financial well-being and dollars and cents and so on. But Gittin the Kiddushin seems like it should be a much, you know, more independent, much more important decision. Now, of course, the vulnerability is, can't there be situations in Dine Mominis where I really want a deal, right? But I think I have leverage over the other guy. The answer, of course, in theory. Is the point of the Ravid, well, this is usually not the way it is in Loplug, or is the point that, oh, leveraging and taking advantage, that's also details that integrate into Das, if it's Das about a neutral thing or an unimportant thing about, like, wealth. Okay, so the leveraging is part of the Das, or integrates into the Das, too. That would be a way to conceptualize it more. By the same token, in the other direction, what? There aren't people, gold-digging people. Is a gold digger always the girl side? The phrase? Anybody know who's a literature people? Well, you tell me you're a literature person. No, they're probably both. Or one is gold digger, the other's like a wealth something. I don't know. Whatever it is. What's that?
It's called marrying richer guys.
Marrying rich? No, we got a better... That's what it is, but I mean, we can come up with a better phrase than that, right? Anyways, the point is that meaning, right, romanticism aside, right, you know, it depends what the tznai is. It depends how cynical he is. You know, maybe he's got two equal candidates from his point of view, right? So is the point that, you know, this typically isn't what it is or what it shouldn't be, or is the point, like I just said, that it all gets conceptualized, meaning in Dine Mominis, even if you really, really want the deal, but you're trying to exploit your advantage, that exploitation of the advantage ends up being a calculation, which is still very pragmatic and therefore part of the das of the deal. And then Ishus, as much as, you know, you might, you know, wager it and whatever it, there's on some level, you know, there's something, I'm not sure. That's the vulnerability. But it's an amazing idea. So this idea is really implicit already in Tosis and Ksuvis. We'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Rosh and a few other points to finish this off, and then we'll move on to Maimon Shloshtan on Tuesday. But on Tosis on Nun Vav. Okay, what does Tosis say, Micha, on Nun Vav?
Tosis on Nun Vav says that
Tosis asks a question.
He's asking why, originally, he's asking why tonight applies to the thing that goes through that doesn't have tonight couple.
He's asking what?
It says there must be a snake couple here, because otherwise it would fall.
No, no, what's the, like, the, not the important part? The question, the important question that he asks. What's he really asking? The question that we're dealing with.
That, if you don't have...
You can read
it.
It's not mechila. He said, I just don't get it. How is this going to work? The guy says, right? He's saying, you know, it's not worth it for me if I have to support you. So he didn't make it tonight couple, so you're going to impose the burden of support in within the marriage on him when that's not what he wanted? This is Tosis's way of asking, like, this very basic question, why isn't this a mekhtos? Or why? So what, he didn't, you're going to hold him on ceremony? He doesn't have das lekadesh.
he has a nazir thing, and then after the nazir thing.
Yeah, Vilmarie.
Vilmarie. Dilad, Dialfina, and Abisna, B'nei Gabriel, Ruben. Admina, Deshum, Tanai, Enum, Avatel, Asamaisa.
No!
Vafilu, Lohi's time is Vesofa, Maisik. Vafilu, Lohi's time is Sofa, Maisik, Hayim. The Hashta, Dialfina.
Vafilu, Lohi's time, Besof. A ma'isa kayim, right?
The hash to alfin mihasam the mahani tznai levat al ma'isa. I'm going to dafka kishu eno mas namashkasu b'torah dumiyat dvegavei ribbon. Shlo has namashkasu b'torah.
So he's correct. Here he talks about tznai mas namashkasu b'torah. We're not talking about only tznai kafel. So this is Tosis articulating this idea of what we call sometimes tznai milsakriti, Tosa's saying that the guy really, you know, a Tanai is an extraneous mevatel, and therefore it's got to be according to the rules, right? So that's kind of what the, so we'll talk about the Tshuvas HaRosh on Tuesday when we finish this up. But one of the things we have to think about is, obviously, part of the Mishpatei Tanoim themselves are the conditions that apply Mishpatei Tanoim. Just like what the Ravid was saying, right, is you might say then that, you know, to be Mechalik. Just like you might be Mechalik and give me Kedushin and Ishus and Mominus, and just like you might be Mechalik within Mominus or within giving the Kedushin, that's kind of what Tosus was saying too. Right? What I was saying is, like, you know, you're not, you know, if you want to bring down something where you have Das, that's kind of what Tosus is saying, right? That's one thing. Then you need to cross your T's and dot your I's, right? But if you really don't have Das, you know, so we're not going to stand on ceremony. That's Tosus qualifying, you know, this comment. So one of the things we need to figure out, just like with the Ravid, is, and when you do have Mishpatei Tanoim, the Chizuk, so it just really extraneous Mevatel, or that Chizuk creates at least a legal situation where Al Pidin, you know, your Das on the Tanai part, you know, is Me'akev, your Das, not just the Chalos of the Mice. Do we treat it as then, like, all integrated, or not? That's a little bit part of the question of a Tshuvas HaRosh. And it's part of some other questions too, like, can you just drop a Tanai once you have it? Once you made a Tanai properly, can you just drop it? In getting the Kedushin, can you drop it? Do you need any Kiyum for that? Even with any Kiyum, can you drop it? Do you have to redo the Kedushin? In other words, to what extent does the Tanai get hyphenated, or the Das on the Tanai at least, get, like, become an integral part of the Das on the Maisa, or of the Maisa itself? Does it stay extraneous or not? Okay, so we'll finish with this very quickly on Tuesday, and I want to talk about Matanim and Asahas. And tomorrow I said I want to finish up a little more on Yeshu and Steers, and if we have time, we'll do a little bit of Parsha. Are we still doing Parsha?
Yeah, Parsha.